Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray on an FBF Friday on The Usual Suspect. It's Nick, it's Joel. Barry's out in Fort Worth doing a little comedy for the weekend. Headlining, by the way, he did last night, which was a big deal. Cody Stutes, generous enough to join us for the second time this week. Filled in for me when I was on jury duty. Filled in for Barry today. And we're happy to have him. We've been going strong for 2 hours now on the sister station, ESPN 97.5. So if you missed any part of the show, we always recommend you on where to go, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects. You get the first 2 hours of the show. And while you're there, if you download the app, you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss a moment of not only our show, but every show on the network.
Which is worse by me, betting on the Pro Bowl or betting on a Dutch soccer match that I will never watch?
Pro Bowl.
But all I do is bet the over, bet for points.
From what I've heard,
from J-Bo, though,
I was going to say, from what I've heard and what others told me, at least from soccer, you have an in.
Right,
because
yeah.
Jerry Bo knows soccer.
Yeah. J-Bo hit me earlier this week with, I think it was a Chelsea money line play.
Yeah.
Nails.
Cashed in, see?
Yeah.
Pro Bowl, it is like a blind squirrel catching a nut. You got no chance.
So you would think the Pro Bowl would be a lot of points, and I went back and looked. So it's the over-under's 55 right now, and I was betting over.
You got an issue. You have a real problem if you're betting the Pro Bowl and looking at the over-under.
So I was betting the Pro Bowl over-under, and I was like, okay, you know, surely it's gone over 55 the past couple of years. Not so fast, my friend. Not a lot of scoring in the Pro Bowl in recent years.
Nick, he's also doing research on the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much of a gambler he was until he started bringing it up over and over again on the air and on the shows that we've done together.
The Blitz talks about degenerates. This guy right here is taking the cake if he's doing research on the Pro Bowl.
Just 47 points last year.
Oh, my God.
33 the year before.
Shouldn't there be an over-under on the amount of effort 1 to 10 guys are going to give and 5 be the mean?
Sure.
Because I think most guys are going at a 2 or 3.
Well, that stat alone, Cody, should worry you, right? The fact that it was 47 last year, 33 the year before. That's big discrepancy there.
But young guy on the AFC and Deshaun Watson. Young guy.
Patrick Mahomes.
Like to go out there, like to get the social media video love. Go out there and throw some dimes. Juju Smith-Schuster. That's 30 points right there.
You know what that is? That's the skills challenge. You don't need to be. I don't think anybody's going to give you their 4-4 speed on the outside trying to catch a pass from those two dudes and then come up lame with a hammy, Chris Paul. You don't want that. I know you don't play next week, but you don't want that. You don't want to go into your offseason wounded.
I don't know why those guys don't give it their all. Maybe this is the year it changes.
I can just see you knocking down the front door on Monday morning. Damn it, those guys screwed me.
I feel like those are worse than, that would be worse than prop bets, right?
There's some good prop bets. Did you see the crazy stuff they're doing now?
Oh, I love Super Bowl prop bets.
You see them, Nick? Some of these things are very cool. Some of them are very cool. Like on the night of the big game, who will have more points? James Harden, who's playing that night, or the over-under? Or whatever the case may be. Kevin Durant, they put NBA players and what they might get that night.
That's
versus,
interesting.
It's very cool.
That's different.
So Durant points versus golf completions. Zion Williamson points and rebounds versus Patriots Rams first half points. Give me Pat's Rams on that.
Yeah, but who does Duke play?
It's got to be an ACC school, right?
Should
it's
be
right
in the middle in schedule for the conference.
Phil Mickelson fourth round bogeys or worse versus Josh Reynolds receptions.
I'm just staying away from that one.
Some of these are out
Phil's
there.
Phil's been hot lately. Just want to let you know.
And then you got like, will Tony Romo's tie be one solid color?
I would call Romo. I would get someone that could get to Romo and go, dude, do me a solid. Wear purple.
If you were Romo's friends, how are you not cleaning up on this?
I have thought about this with the Gatorade forever in a day. Like, Nick, you know, I know Tony, the equipment manager for the Rockets, is a good friend of mine.
Right.
If I knew that there was an NBA Finals bet, the Rockets were in it, and it's what color is the Gatorade if the Rockets win, I'd be like, Tone, I'll flip you a bone, man. I'll give you a little, but just tell me what color it's going to be. Because I'm cashing in.
And Romo can't get in trouble for revealing it to his friends, right? On a prop bet?
The only way that he can find any kind of heat on this is if CBS says, we want you to wear this, or this doesn't look so good on TV.
Right, yeah. And he just like went against them or something.
Because there's certain patterns you find out in TV in a tie or like certain jackets, if they're plaid, if it's a tight plaid, like a herringbone plaid,
right.
It messes with your TV screen.
Will Tony Romo be clean shaven?
Who cares?
Somebody
Dollar
does.
Dollar Shave Club. Get Tony Romo Dollar Shave Club, and then, dang it. God, see, I'm telling you, there's so many that Vegas is vulnerable on for the people that know the people involved.
Romo doesn't need the money, so he would never like commit massive fraud and
Dude's
do it.
Getting major catch from Skechers, without a T, by the way, which Nick and I found out yesterday.
Didn't know.
Did you know that? Skechers is spelled without a T.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
I didn't.
I used to have me a pair of Skechers back in the day.
Okay.
Do you ever see people wear those
Charlie
shape
Pelillo
ups?
Has one.
Charlie Pelillo.
In this day. He's got some Skechers. And they fit him to a T. Even there's no T in it. I'm just telling you. You know what? Jake Asman might have some Skechers. Because if Charlie's got them, Jake's got them.
I haven't done my Gladys Knight research yet.
On length of anthem?
Yeah.
Well, Aretha blew that out of the water, right? And I don't know if you guys saw this, because with everything going on with the Saints game last week with the call, people didn't bring enough attention to the fact that Jimmy Buffett, who they said was a lifetime Saints fan, sang the anthem. It could not have sucked worse. And it was off key. And he thought it was so good, he did a mic drop when he was done. And he tried to do it like a cappella. It was excruciatingly bad. It was horrible. I was like, man, I would have done like Wasted Away in Margaritaville, ukuleles and music, and try to distract from the fact that I couldn't sing this thing. But no, he took the bad boy on head on a cappella and just crapped the bed.
Will any scoring drive take less time than the national anthem?
Ooh.
That's a good Not, one.
I don't think from New England. But I do think from a Rams perspective.
Hit a big play in the red zone, big play touchdown.
Cooks over the top or something like that. That could.
You know, Cooks pushed out the two, Gurley, boom, two plays. There you go.
Are you a prop bet guy, Nick? Have you ever done any of these?
I've done a couple, but I did it on like random stuff, like halftime performances, like if like the performer's going to trip or fall or stumble, stuff like that. I did funny stuff like that, but I don't do it every year.
I'm going to call Tony and ask him if the night of the Super Bowl, he can put Icy Hot in Harden's jock so that it's like bothering him and he's got to change and he's not on the court as much and he's going to go under.
Yeah.
We can work that out. Tony's about to have his second kid. We can put a little diaper fund in the back pocket and just help us out here. I'm just throwing it out there.
You can bet on the exact number of points each team is going to score.
Yeah, but the exact number, that's tough.
Well, yeah, that's why it's got good big payoffs.
True.
I will say this real prop bet that's like actual people like care about would not crazy goofy one. MVP.
Mm-hmm.
If you think the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl, like if that's how you feel right now,
yep.
A lot of places have Todd Gurley at I think 5-1 to win the MVP. So $100 wins you $500.
I may be right now. My gut feeling is the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl.
If the Rams win the Super Bowl, who do you believe would be the MVP in that scenario?
Well, see, in my mind, it's either Gurley, who you mentioned, or Goff.
Right.
And I see the problem I have is Goff being that first Super Bowl, like you said, only his second big time game.
Yep.
I think he could tighten up a little bit. So what do you do? For security's sake, you hand the ball off, and you have dink and dunk passes to Todd Gurley.
Oh, Gurley's 10-1 at this service.
Oh, boom. Boom. Now, there's one you take a chance at.
Yeah.
Without question.
One to win 1,000?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Reminder, Chris Mannix, NBA reporter and also DAZN reporter, going to join us at the bottom of the hour here to talk a little boxing and a little hoop. A big boxing match at Toyota Center this weekend as well. So DAZN will be on to talk about. We'll be talking about it with Chris Mannix. And Clarence, we see you. We're going to get to you. I already mentioned this crap, but I know that you have venom in your mind and a warm belly full of more to come. So we'll get to Clarence after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, still got one segment before we get to Chris Mannix of DAZN and Yahoo Sports. Longtime NBA guy, but also catching some extra action on this new DAZN setup for UFC and boxing.
So as part of the DAZN coming up, we're going to get Mannix.
Yep.
Sports Map's going to have Sugar Ray Leonard.
Right. With AJ. AJ did a one-on-one with Sugar Ray Leonard, so that's going to be on
yep.
Sports Map.
Don't want to miss that.
If it's like, good look, and you guys know, you know, AJ likes to flip me a lot of crap, and we go, but The interview that AJ did with Oscar De La Hoya like a week ago.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Really good. I was listening to it on the way home. It was really good.
And a rare appearance of dressed up AJ.
Yeah, it's second time. He dressed up for the
De La Hoya. Dressed up today. I mean, he's...
Two sport coats in a month. That's like...
He's dressing up a lot more now.
That's the over by a lot. Right?
Yeah.
And it's a blue plaid one today.
And
it's a nice blazer. Yeah.
It's like you can tell he's got the tool of style there. He mm-hmm. just doesn't always go to it. Because if I wear a sport coat, I'm wearing a black sport coat. Like that's it. I don't have any sort of like
you and Kelly Eco.
You know, black sport coat, probably a white shirt. Maybe
Kelly
I'll go Eco
is pretty consistent with his blazers. He's very consistent.
But, so, with he has one I gave it to.
I remember.
So Sugar Ray Leonard's rolling around here. If you take a picture with a boxing guy, what do?
Make a fist.
You make a fist.
Right.
Okay. So I saw how you made it. Make a fist for me, Nick. Okay. So one of our coworkers who works on the other side of the building, Alex Gold.
Oh, yeah.
Made a fist with Sugar Ray Leonard, but made a fist with his thumb on the top.
No.
So he's sitting there, he tweets out the picture, hey, got to take a pic with Sugar Ray, and Sugar Ray's over there, got his hand, you know, and then Alex puts his hand up and it's thumb on top, like he's getting ready to press
Never
the
been
button
in a fight in his life. Never been in a fight in his life, and if he did, he broke his thumb.
No, that's a clear indicator Alex Gold has never punched anyone in the face.
Not that he didn't have a right to lately, but still sure. at the same time. Yeah,
sure.
Who does that?
I helped him move the other day.
Yeah. Oh, so he got out of it.
Yeah.
He got out of his apartment, which is good.
I helped him move the other day, and I have like a hard and fast rule with helping people move because I have a truck, so you always get
we've
asked.
We've seen the truck. You can't miss it because it's got your flipping name on the license plate.
Sure, sure.
It doesn't have air conditioning, Nick, but it's got his name on the license plate.
The air conditioning works. I got that fixed.
Oh.
Yeah. No.
He gave us the update on that.
I was in jury duty.
So I help you get one move. I'll help you move once. That's it.
Okay.
After that, if you want the truck, you can just take the truck. You know, just take the truck, borrow it, leave your car with me that day,
mm-hmm.
and we'll just do the old trader that way. I just don't like helping people move. And we had to move like a mattress, like a couch. We're moving the mattress, getting ready to put it in the truck. I'm like, hey, let's take a shortcut across this little grass area. And like, Gold's got a dog, so I figured, surely he's a decent human being.
And picks up after
him. And picks up after his dog. Nope. Left foot sliding right through a hot one.
Geez. Well, if you're Jong, you would just take your shoe, put it in the bathroom on the counter, and scrub it for as long as it takes and leave the remnants all over the counter.
I remember that.
Oh, that was here? Funny. Oh, yeah. Here in the offices. It was terrible.
Yeah.
I'm so used to it. Nick, you are too. Nick and I are dog people, so I'm so used to the whole picking up the poop thing. It doesn't bother me. Like, I've got guys that Craig Ackerman's one, and Craig Ackerman's wife is like mine in terms of over-the-top dog lover. Craig's like, I never understood. It's the most stupidest thing ever. People that pick up poop with the bags. Like, my preference, I used to call it the jaws of life. They make a one-handed, like a vice grip thing where you squeeze it and the jaws open up and close. It's the greatest pooper scooper alive. But Lisa and her parents and everybody else believe all you need is that roll of bags and you just turn it inside out, go pick it. I've gotten so used to it, I can do it without worrying about smell or texture or anything like that. Lisa will be like, hey, honey, look, the dogs have been eating some of the bone. I don't need to get, but I don't mind it. Do you have a problem with it?
I'm going
to
puke.
We've had this discussion. I don't do it.
Oh, that's right. So you're an Alex Gold. You just leave it in the grass.
I don't do it, yeah.
It's built-in fertilizer, Cody. It's just fertilizing the grass.
It's not happening.
Cody's about to throw up over
I'm really about to puke.
That's hilarious. So we should gross. I would love to see him puke
Lisa
in the studio
takes
right
it
now.
After she picks it up. she literally, Cody, will pick it
Hold
up
on.
With
we
the
We got to get
bag.
The camera angle, though. Hold on. The people need to see this.
She picks it up in her hand, the bag is obviously over her hand.
My eyes are closed.
And if we're worried about one of our dogs being sick, she will literally like sift through it and press through it just to make sure that everything's that there's no like clumps of bone or food or whatever they've been eating or that something might have been bad.
Stop, please.
If you press through it, it reinitiates the smell. Like
right,
it re-sparks.
So then you get the smell. You can feel it after a while. It's warm in your hand.
Please stop.
I'll get the babe. The texture's really good. So the new food's working.
I will do anything for you to stop, please. I don't mind other people throwing up. I think people throwing up is funny. This disgusts me for some reason.
You know what? There's another person on hold that's disgusted by something else. So we'll go to Clarence now, who's disgusted as a Saints fan with everything that's been going on during and after the Saints-Rams game. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys?
What's up, man?
First off, they should need an over-under on how many plays Tony Romo predicts.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one, Clarence.
They should. Okay, so now.
First
off, it took till today, Friday, for Goodell to even say something, not even publicly, but privately. You mean to tell me that he talked to Sean Payton, VP, chairman committee, head official, all of y'all talked to him like something's going to happen, like something's going to change? That's like getting robbed. And the police catching them, and it's just, we caught them. Okay. You're not getting your money back, or you're not getting your precious valuables back, but hey, we want you to know, we caught them. We caught them for you.
It's a pretty good analogy.
That's just basically a slap in the face. You're going to charge this man $25,000 for basically missing a call. That's all you're charging them for. And then it took you a week. Almost a week to do it.
Well, and appreciate the call, Clarence. Look, the bottom line with Roger Goodell is we know he hasn't exactly been the most outstanding and without flawed commissioner in sports. But this is just another blemish. I mean, this is more than a blemish. I mean, this is one that may never go away. And here's the other thing that people sometimes fail to remember, too. He's the highest paid employee in all of football. Not Aaron Rodgers. Not Aaron Donald. This dude's making over $40 million a year, and you have to be the front man. The biggest thing he lucked out at was he was at the Chiefs-Patriots game and not the Saints-Rams game, because then he would have had to probably address it. People would have been hounding him right after the game, wherever he was and wherever he was going. But nonetheless, I understand Clarence is a Saints fan, but I would be so hacked off if I didn't hear from him at all week as the front man for the entire league.
And by the way, he's going to do his typical state of the NFL press
during
conference
Super Bowl week,
and whatnot. And if he doesn't think that's going to be the firing line of the first, five of the first 10 questions,
no
probably,
doubt.
He's got another thing coming.
Yeah, I thought about that this morning. I was like, yeah, there's no doubt during his press conference and the state of the league, he's going to get asked about it, but he's probably going to have his PR people already out in the crowd going, he's not answering anything about that call, so don't bring it up. Because it happens all the time, no matter what the sport,
whatever
the press
conference.
But what
would you want him to say in a situation like that? Like, what would you want him to say?
Well, here's what I would say, Nick. My answer to that would be, it's much like when Pettit and Clemens got caught for steroids. Do you want him to make up excuses like Clemens and say they didn't make a mistake? Like the league has been notorious for doing this year on missed and blown calls? Or would you rather have the Pettit approach, at least hearing the front man go, we blew it. In the offseason, we're going to have the competition committee look at it, and we're going to explore ways. You're not committing to anything, but you're saying we're going to explore ways to try and avoid this from happening in the future.
Yeah, and I was kind of thinking about that last night. The only thing I could think of he could say is, look, I'm not going to go back and restart the game. And there's not enough precedent there. And number one, like, how many times have there been a bad call in an imperative game in the postseason that didn't go a team's way and potentially cost them the game? You know, why would he make that change now? And it does sound like I'm defending Roger Goodell, but I'm really not. I mean, I don't know what else he could do in that situation other than we're going to strive to be better. And we're going to circle back to those referees and hope they don't miss calls like that again.
That's the only thing, is just a promise for a better tomorrow.
Right. Like, are you going to be able to challenge pass interference plays? Are you going to have some system in place like we talked about and I wrote about for SportsMap about adopting some of the like NBA-type tendencies where in the final 2 minutes or the final 5 minutes of a half, there are going to be plays that you can have reviewed without even a flag, just tell the officials or sell the officials on the fact that in order to guarantee you get the call right, you can go and look at that play. Here's the thing, though, Nick. When you were talking, I was like, yeah, Nick's right. I can't think of any. And then I thought, well, Houston fans can completely relate if there's ever been a big play in a big game that came back to bite them. It was Renfro in the corner of the end zone against the Steelers.
Yep.
In a touchdown that was should have been that wasn't.
And when they finally changed that whole battle with the ground where you catch a ball and
Dez Bryant.
I mean,
Dez caught it.
That a lot of teams are paying for referee mistakes. This is not the first time that this has happened. And I know Clarence doesn't want me to say all this, but
no, you're right,
there's not much he could do about the situation.
I mean, look, there were calls at the end of the Green Bay game in the NFC Championship against the Seahawks that in retrospect you said they should have called, but it wasn't as painful as just knowing you lost because there's nothing you can do about it. You're not going back, like Nick said. Now, in the NBA, once in a blue moon, they've had a game where a challenge has been upheld and they've had to go back and restart from where they left off. You're not doing that for the NFC Championship.
No.
You're just not. All right. We'll get to some more of your calls as we head to the final half hour of the show. But next, Chris Mannix is coming up from DAZN as he's going to tell you about the big fight coming up this weekend and how you can get a big deal on all pay-per-views for UFC and boxing and all kinds of things. He's also a Yahoo Sports contributor, so we're going to ask him a little NBA as well at some point. But Chris Mannix coming up next. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, and of course, SportsMap 94.5. One, as we continue to roll on with the show, we've been telling you about this man joining us all day now. He is a very well-respected NBA guy, as well as sports guy, who is one of the newest members of DAZN. Chris Mannix joins us right now. Chris, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate you spending a segment with us.
My pleasure, guys.
So why don't you tell everybody right off the top, we were trying to give people a little bit of an insight as to how great DAZN actually is, what it is, how they can get it, and how it can maximize some of their viewing pleasure when it talks about, you know, when you talk about trying to get some of these big boxing matches, MMA-type events.
Hey, it's a new platform, at least in the U.S. It's been around the globe for a long time, and it's been heavily invested in combat sports. And, you know, over the next year in 2019, a lot of major fights, both boxing and MMA, including Canelo Alvarez, probably the biggest star right now in boxing, can be found on DAZN. And the one thing they're trying to do is basically get everybody out of the pay-per-view business. And I think that would be a welcome sight for people that wind up, you know, every time it's a big fight, you pay $75-$80. DAZN is going to be $10 a month, and you know, you get the Canelo fights, you get Anthony Joshua fights, fights that are generally on pay-per-view, you'll get them for a much, much cheaper rate. So it's pretty easy. It's like anything else, any other app. If you have a smart TV on your phone, you know, iPad, whatever, you download it, you sign up for $10 a month, and you get everything.
Now, Chris, you got the Boxing with Chris Mannix podcast that you do, and of course you're up with DAZN. Like, for someone who's maybe not super familiar with some of the names of boxing, you know, this isn't just some dudes that are on this platform. Like, this is like elite big time boxing. You also got some MMA in there as well. Like, this is a great way for just $10 a month to kind of get the entry, the foray into boxing, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, HBO has kind of left the building when it comes to boxing, and DAZN has, I think, filled in that space in a lot more. I mean, they've, you know, signing Canelo Alvarez the way they did, the deal he got, he's now, I think, the richest or highest paid athlete in terms of per year salary in the world, or at least in the U.S. He signed an 11-fight, $365 million deal, all of which will be fought on DAZN for the $9.99 a month. Yeah, he's going to fight Danny Jacobs in May, which is a huge fight. But beyond that, I mean, the fight you have tomorrow night in Houston, Jaime Munguia is one of the most exciting junior middleweights in all of boxing, a 6-foot, 154-pounder that goes out there to take your head off. So if you're in Houston and can see this guy fight, it's great. But if not, you know, watching on DAZN is pretty good.
Yeah, watch it on DAZN, and we've been promoting all week the fact of giving away tickets that it is at Toyota Center, so that's a big fight and a big deal for Houston. Chris, Cody mentioned the boxing podcast, but you also have the crossover with Chris Mannix, and obviously me coming from the Rockets and having an NBA background, I know you've always been a very highly respected NBA guy as well, and so while we got you, I kind of wanted to kind of get your thoughts on, one, the James Harden run that he's on right now, and the fact that when you hear people say it all the time, hey, it's really cool, he's really doing a lot of things offensively, but there's something that still doesn't feel, it's not winning everyone over like you would think when Westbrook was going on the averaging the triple-double for a full season. What this guy's doing is just phenomenal, yet it doesn't seem like he's getting the credit he deserves.
Yeah, it is, but I would think that there's a lot of similarities between what James is doing and what Russell Westbrook did in 16-17. Just, you know, strapping your team on your back and single-handed, you know, winning games. They're doing it in different ways. I mean, Russell Westbrook was an inside-the-three-point-line kind of force of nature, whereas Harden is averaging like 13 three-pointers every single game. But, you know, the common thread is that their teams just overwhelmingly rely on their ability to put up close to 40 every single night just to win. I think that maybe the reason that, you know, he's not getting or he doesn't get even more credit is, you know, the record is pretty good, but it's not like the Rockets have been undefeated since he kind of went on this tear. And it's also clear that they really need to get some other guys back. I mean, you guys remember the last couple of years, specifically 2 years ago, when James Harden had to do everything by himself, as he did in that 16-17 season, the consequence was that in the postseason, specifically that series against San Antonio, he wore down. So, you know, that Chris Paul's not playing tonight, but I guess he's back on Sunday. You know, getting those guys back into the lineup, you know, for the possibility this team can win something in the playoffs, I think is just enormous.
Chris, what do we need to see from, I mean, anybody to prove that this isn't just Warriors versus everybody? Like, is there something you're watching for over the course of this season from various teams to say, okay, those guys got a shot to give the Warriors a series?
I don't know. I mean, it's really hard for me to sit here and tell you that there's somebody that can beat Golden State 4 out of 7, especially with, you know, Cousins starting to work his way back into the lineup. Now, he's still very much a work in progress. I mean, his debut statistically wasn't bad, but he had 6 fouls. And, you know, when I talk to scouts that have watched him, you know, both on TV and in person, his mobility is limited. You know, he's going to be pretty good at clogging up the paint, and they've given up a lot of points in the paint this season. But, you know, he's going to be limited for a little while now. But, you know, they're treating in Golden State the rest of the regular season like an extended preseason for DeMarcus Cousins, just to let him, you know, kind of get himself back into shape so that come April, he'll be, hopefully for them, you know, close to what the player that he once was. But even if he's not, he's still such a luxury. It's just, you know, Houston, with the changes they made this offseason, that clearly weakened them. Utah hasn't been the team we thought they were going to be, even though they're starting to pick it up a little bit lately. It's just, it's really hard to envision any scenario, you know, barring significant injury, where somebody beats the Warriors 4-7.
And that's where I was getting at, Chris, because you can give an outsider's perspective with expertise, because there's so many people here that believe when the Rockets get healthy, they have enough. And I have said, I don't think so. They have to still try and make a move or two. And the thing is, with the Paul contract, the new Capella contract, with all their salary cap limitations, basically, all they've been able to do is just pick up guys that are bought out, like Fareed, like Austin Rivers. Mm-hmm. But what can the Rockets conceivably do? And can this is this team right now have enough to even get to the second round of the Western Conference playoffs?
Yeah, look, I think they have enough for that. I mean, they're still going to possess, you know, really high level firepower with a healthy Chris Paul and with James Harden. And when Capella's back, I mean, he's obviously brings a different dynamic to that team. It's just, you know, the loss of Ariza, and I know he isn't having his best season, didn't have it in Phoenix and has been up and down in Washington. You know, just to, you know, take a good chemistry and glue guy and a versatile kind of 3-and-D guy off that team, it really hurt. I mean, less so Luke Babamute, though you can argue that was a loss as well. But just the changes that they made, they weakened them. And you really don't have any margin for error when you're going up against Golden State in the playoffs. I understand Trevor Ariza was expensive, really expensive, in the deal he got from Phoenix, but here's the consequence. You're just not the same team when you lose that guy out of the rotation. So I think they can be a conference finalist. I just don't think, you know, going into a conference finals against Golden State, that they're going to be as formidable as they were last year.
So is there anybody out there? I mean, is there any names that we're looking at a buyout? I've heard Parsons. We don't know what Dallas is going to do, but they're supposedly shopping Matthews and others. Mark Gasol, but his contract's big. Is there any hope that Daryl Morey can pull a rabbit out of his hat, somehow make this team better before the deadline?
It's hard to see a deal getting done via trade, you know, both for, you know, both a result of the lack of real assets the Rockets would be willing to part with, and the number of teams out there looking to do it. I mean, teams like Orlando are open for business right now. Obviously, Memphis, we know. The bottom feeder teams, you know, if you want to take Tim Hardaway Jr., you can have him off New York's roster. They just want to get off the books. It's just challenging because the Rockets don't have a lot to offer back. You know, a lot of people I talk to, executives I talk to about the next month, they're kind of predicting the buyout market could be pretty robust. You know, the Knicks could walk away from Enes Kanter, the Bulls, Robin Lopez, all those bottom of their respective conferences teams could buy out some of the veteran players on that roster. But, you know, if they do that, the Rockets are going to be competing with Golden State, which, you know, offers an almost guaranteed championship, Boston, which I think is going to be looking for another big man on the market, another top-tier team. So it's going to be challenging, to say the least, for Houston to make any significant upgrades outside their roster.
There you go, man. We appreciate your time. I know you're busy, but tell people again all about DAZN, the fact that the fight this Saturday night coming from Toyota Center is going to be on it, and how people can get it so they make sure that they get some of these big pay-per-view events.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun fight for as long as it lasts. Jaime Munguia, as I said, one of the most exciting fighters in all of boxing. You can just download the app on at DAZN or the DAZN app on your Apple TV, Roku, all that good stuff, or go to DAZN.com and subscribe there. It's real easy, painless. They've, like I said, it's new to the U.S., but they've been doing this app stuff, you know, globally. They're in Japan, you're all over Europe, so they're pretty good at it. So it's pretty painless to go through the process, and you get all the good fights, man. I mean, Canelo Alvarez just around the corner. It's good to sign up now.
Yeah, go do it because it's worth your time if you're a sportsman, especially of combat sports. And again, follow Chris Mannix at SI Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated, and make sure that you follow him from now through the end of the NBA season because he's going to give you all kinds of good tidbits. Chris, appreciate your time and have some fun this weekend.
Anytime, guys.
There you go. Chris Mannix, we got one segment to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere. We are going to put a bow on this thing and turn it over to the Blitz next. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1. We'll be right back.
going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of what has been a fun and spirited show, even though it started off really bad because Cody wanted to make fun of our F Yeah Fridays.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. But no. Cody Stutes, the funny one, is in with the non-funny one, me, while the real funny one is doing comedy in Fort Worth, and Nick is here.
I just thought that, you know, you were doing a little Sesame Street move on me. Falafels. It's also an F word.
Falafel's a carb.
Yeah, it is.
I got to let you know, because Nick, with this weight loss challenge thing, I got the first dose of the cravings last night, because I've been pretty much trying to eliminate carbs, too. And last night, after having just the salad with tuna, I'm going, God, I could use, like, some chips, some pretzels, something.
Crunchy.
Something crunchy, salty.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was driving me nuts. So I had, like, six rice cakes. The little circular ones.
Okay. I thought you were talking about like six regular rice cakes.
My daughter eats the cheddar rice, the rice cake chips. I had like six of those, and I'm going, God, I would kill for like a bag of pretzels or something like
that. Yes. Yeah. Like maybe like the little peanut butter filled pretzels.
Yeah. I know Nick's going hot and heavy on this weight loss challenge, and you're in it too.
Yeah.
So what do you struggle with the most?
Carbs.
Yeah. I've eliminated them for the most part, and it's tough.
Well, mostly for me, it's crunchy stuff. Just pretzels, chips. Yeah, that's mostly it.
You struggling with anything, Nick?
I mean, I am. I kind of broke the rules again yesterday and tried a new burger
He's
spot.
Cheater guy.
But yeah. I had a birthday, like a family birthday dinner to go to, so I have a good excuse.
Well, I don't know about good excuse. We're going to let it slide. But he had pizza the other night.
And a new burger spot last night.
Yeah.
Well, burgers aren't bad. I mean, you just don't fire down the french fries and
that
the bun.
That brings me to another issue all in itself.
What?
So you're in the weight loss challenge.
I am.
And you're participatory, which I give you full credit for. Now, Barry first thought I was making fun of you. You know that I've been very supportive of you.
Correct.
You even put on like this newfangled scale that everybody should get because it's really good and it's accurate and all those other things, right? Uh-huh. So you also put a tidbit because you're doing what the people love, which is suggestions and pointers. You found out because Chick-fil-A, as we've highlighted, is one of your spots.
Yep.
Barry has said that the sauce mixes are, you mix ranch.
Right,
and
yeah, a little bit of ranch and their buffalo sauce.
Their buffalo sauce. And Barry even did the caloric thing, and
the grilled nuggets.
Yeah, and that works. So you tweeted out, you put a picture on the Facebook page the other day.
Uh-huh.
People, if you didn't realize this, and I'm just surmising the whole thing, summarizing, but the thing is, you said if you ask Chick-fil-A instead of a bun, they will give you lettuce.
Yeah, they'll wrap your
chicken breast or whatever.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want their breast wrapped in lettuce?
Correct.
So you can get that, right? But then I take a closer look at the picture. You got bacon and cheese on that bad boy.
Yeah.
How is that healthy? Are you doing keto?
I mean, I'm doing don't eat too many calories. But at some point you have to have fuel.
So you can, but you're getting your protein out of the chicken breast, but you're saying you can do a good caloric intake day and a diet day with bacon and cheese?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
All you got to do.
I'd be blowing up like a hot air balloon.
All
if
you
got to
do is.
And blowing it out pretty soon after.
Spend more than you eat. That's all you got to do.
Okay.
More out than it goes in.
That's kind of like what Barry had, that Dunkin' Donuts challenge thing.
Oh, the
where you eat like the box of donuts
and you gotta run.
Then you gotta run and burn it all off. It's like 1,200 calories. Dude, I'm like, screw that.
No, thank you.
Yeah, just don't eat the donuts.
No, I think that's like the gimmick, is like you gotta eat the donuts as part of the race.
Right. Know? Oh, got it. Like the part of the challenge.
Yeah.
I'm done with those challenges. This challenge is enough for me right now.
Sure. It's like It's like one strip of bacon cut in half, too. You made it sound like I have extra bacon and cheese.
You can't put that on me, because if you look at the picture, Nick, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, but if you look at the picture, most of the chicken breast is covered by the lettuce. But peeking out of the end is bacon and cheese. So I'm only to assume, from what I can see, that the entire breast is covered with bacon and cheese.
Less carbs, more protein. That's my approach.
Okay. What about the arteries that are still being clogged by the cheese and the bacon?
That's why you work out.
Okay. See, Nick, you might have gotten off the hook. Now your burgers and pizza are looking a lot better.
Dude, I'm so surprised, and I'm learning all these diets because I am starting to get to that age where I really got to pay attention to them. But I am pretty impressed at what you can get away with eating. Like when we were in Vegas, AJ was at In-N-Out. He had like a lettuce wrap burger that was apparently okay considering his diet. And that's what I need to find. I need to find the right diet for me. But at the same time, for me, it's more about just being proactive. I really like what Cody's doing in terms of the Raheel kettlebell workout or whatever he calls it. I kind of want to try that. But, yeah, I am pretty impressed with what people can consume considering they're on a quote-unquote diet.
That's why I thought the nutritionist was so interesting yesterday from the Y Factor and the Man Center, because of the fact that there are certain misconceptions out there, but there's also certain foods that can really help you in terms of making you feel full. But one that I was really like disappointed in, and I verified it with Lisa last night, which is I'm always a soy milk guy because I'm trying to be I'm kind of lactose intolerant, even though I'm from Wisconsin now, and I've gotten off the whole dairy thing. And to have her say that like soy milk is bad for you because it can cause like inflammation of the joints and all these other things, and you should be using coconut milk or other milk or other milks. I'm like, had no idea.
Oh man, that's a bummer.
Yeah, because I use soy milk in my smoothie every morning.
I'm a half and half guy. A little splash of half and half in the bottom.
How is that allowed? That's a major fatty.
It's way better than regular
half and
milk.
Half,
or
half
milk.
And half.
It's less fat, right?
It's way less fat, way less carbs than regular milk.
Wow, I always thought half and half was thick.
Mm-mm. It is thicker than milk, but it's
nutrition. I thought it had a ton of fat in it, as opposed to milk.
It's way less.
Really?
Yeah, and I just do a little splash for the creaminess.
For the creaminess.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I used to work at the smoothie royalty place. I could make a smoothie.
Where are you on apple cider vinegar?
That's one of the grossest things any human being can put in.
Incredibly good for you, though.
Yeah, Nick is an apple cider vinegar guy. I can't stomach it. I can't do it.
It's great for you. There's a big, I think it's like 2 tablespoons. It's like a real easy way to cleanse something. 2 tablespoons, mix it with some water, and fire it down like a shot.
It'll fire back out on my orifices faster than you can say Aunt Jemima makes syrup for waffles.
I don't even need to mix water with mine. I just take it straight.
I can't do it, man. You just had the same reaction you did to picking up poop with a poop bag.
I would rather pick up poop with a poop bag than drink apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, I'm with you. I tried it. I was encouraged to try it, and it had adverse effects on me. I can't do it, but Nick wants Barry to try it, but Nick does it. In his smoothie.
You put that in your smoothies?
Well, they have these wellness shots, and that's one of the like 4 or 5 ingredients that you would put in a wellness shot.
Oh, I don't know about all that.
But it's a shot. You take it like a shot. It's supposed to go down fast.
Try it with half and half.
Have a chaser.
It'll work. Cody, try it with half and half. It'll be smoother and thicker. And it might take away the painful effects of trying to stomach apple cider vinegar.
I'm going to go home and have a smoothie for lunch.
There you go. Good for you. That's the other thing. When you're dieting, can you do a cheat day or a cheat meal?
Oh, you have to.
Do you still do it?
Keep your sanity.
Oh, thank God. I thought I was going to have to give it up this weekend. All right. Hey, we appreciate you sitting in for us. Always a pleasure. Have yourself a great weekend. Nick, you do the same. And you guys out there do the same. We're going to wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. That means Nick and Cody and myself are out. AJ and Fred with Tyler are in. The Blitz is next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you with Barry back on Monday.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.